Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay on the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at 646-716-4893, or you can email me while the show is going on at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I say hello to our very special guest, Dr. Brian Hooper, I just want to make a couple of announcements. I can't believe that next week it's going to be August, and we're only like 8 weeks away from our semi-annual healing weekend here in Philadelphia, and it's going to be a wonderful weekend with women from all over the country and all over the world. That includes Australia, England, and Canada, who will be joining this group healing session. The group is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We still have room for a few more people if you're interested in coming. There's no cost for the weekend, just for the hotel room and for a few meals. But it will start you on your journey to healing by meeting other women who are traveling your path. If you are interested, let me know at bonkay@aol.com. Also, I'm really excited that our UK support chat is growing. You know, we're getting new women into the group as the word's getting out in England and Ireland and also in Wales about the support that we have for women who are going through that situation. So if you're in that situation or know someone, all you have to do is write to me at bonkay@aol and I'll get you set up. Also, if you're not in our support chat now and you would like to join, let me know. And also, my favorite chat room, I have to be honest with you, is our children support group, where we have adult children who are 18 and over who have come from these marriages and who are really, really having some issues that they need to discuss with other people who have grown up with the same issues. So if you have adult children, please email me if they're looking for support. It's an amazing group with some really amazing young people who are trying to figure out their journey together without having other people who they can really talk to who would understand or empathize with them. So we have all of that support available. And also, if you're not getting my monthly newsletters, let me know, and I'll be happy to put you on the list. So without too much further ado, I will introduce our very favorite doctor in the house, Dr. Brian Hooper. Welcome back, Brian.
Good evening, Bonnie. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you and the ladies.
Thank you, and I do appreciate it, Brian. I have such wonderful feedback from our women about what a comfort you are to them. And, you know, our women really struggle with so many different issues that I think unless you're part of this community that you really don't understand, because I think the issues are very different and the dynamics of the issues are very different. And have you found that when you're doing your counseling, Brian?
Oh, very definitely, because, you know, it's trying to understand two different worlds at the same time and make it all kind of make sense in a person's head. And you know, straight women, when they're first coming to grips with the fact they have been involved with a gay man, they begin to doubt and question themselves. And I just want to encourage them to listen to what's going on inside and remember that they're not crazy. You know, some men come clean and they don't blame the women, and those are the men who have integrity and they're more, you know, they're heading towards health themselves. And we need to recognize that. But unfortunately, too many men who are dealing with this are not coming clean. And in those cases, with those men, the women take a lot of the heat and the brunt of their lack of integrity. So, you know, listen to what's going on inside of you. Don't make excuses. You know, stay true to yourself.
I think one of the problems is that, you know, we get such a lack of understanding from the general public outside of this point where women are constantly saying to me, who are not married to gay men, they're saying, in this day and age, when, you know, homosexuality is so out there in the open, and they have gay marriages that are legalized now, why does a gay man have to get married to a straight woman when he can get married to somebody else?
That's a great question, and the answer is not terribly difficult, and the answer is simply this, that, and it's the answer that's been there for many, you know, years and years before, and that is that even though it's legal in some places, even those places where it is legal, it's not fully accepted, and the men who end up not being clear with the women that they marry when they are gay are usually doing it because, you know, they're really hoping that they're going to be able to pull it off, and it's going to work out for them. They like the idea of marriage and all of the perks, all of the benefits, all the societal affirmations to go with that. There may be a few men out there who, you know, marry a woman as a cover and they know exactly what they're doing. But frankly, the majority of men that I've dealt with, they've done this because they're operating with two ideas in mind. One, they're trying to do what's, you know, going to appear to be best, they think, in society. And two, they've got a lot of their own denial going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's get into it.
I really believe that these men are really believing that marriage will fix them because,
yes,
you know, like you say, it is the expectation. It is what's the acceptable and the norm. You know, when you're living in a society where gay people, no matter how many rights you think you're giving them, that bottom, you know, line remains, there's still tremendous prejudice against gay. And
of course.
You know, maybe our women can't see that because we've been very accepting of gay, which is why I really believe that many men find us good partners, just in case that comes out, because of our open-mindedness. But the majority of people still look at you as gay. They'll say that gay doctor, that, you know,
right,
lesbian this or that. Like, you always have to
right,
have a word in front of it. And I was telling you a little bit about that, like with being Jewish. You know, when people say,
right,
oh, my Jewish friend. Like, why aren't I just the friend? Why do
friend,
I have to
right,
be separated
exactly,
into a Jewish friend? And,
right,
you know, you always feel different. Why can't somebody just say that? So, you know, I think it's very much when you're gay, you're getting those messages constantly that it's really not that acceptable. And especially if you grow up, you know, people don't realize there are a lot of strict churches throughout America. There are other religions now, like, you know, many Muslims in our country, where homosexuality is never going to be accepted. You know, people are never going to say it's okay to be gay.
I don't think there's going to be 100% acceptance. Look how far we are out from the civil rights movement today, and still there's so much prejudice against people who are black. So,
absolutely.
We've got a long ways to go for real equality in so many different areas.
But I think with gay, it's going to take longer than black and Jewish. And that's because I feel that people, in some ridiculous way, feel threatened by gay. You know, like, if you go close, like if you go close to it, you're going to catch it.
Yeah, right.
No, I really do believe people think that. If I get too close to a gay person, it's going to happen to me. That mysterious,
right,
you know, disease is going to spread all over,
yep,
me. Or you don't know how many times I have people tell me, Brian, you know, and these are for straight people, that, well, you know, I'm not against them as long as they don't go after me. Okay, well, why do you think so much of yourself that gay people are going to come running after you? You know, they think that just because you're a male that some gay person is going to want you. You know, there's so much misconception surrounding gay.
Yeah, I think that's it's very true. And frankly, if somebody is not clear and they make an advance, the best thing a man can say who's straight to a gay man is, oh, well, thank you very much. I'm flattered by your interest, but I happen to be straight, and I wish you all good things. I mean, you know, that's just a polite thing to do. And any gay man who has any integrity is going to say, well, thank you very much, and they're going to turn their attention elsewhere. They're not going to pursue him. No.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just don't understand how those misconceptions have become so ingrained into society. But because of those misconceptions, the prejudice will continue. And
yeah.
I think on a personal level, you may say I'm wrong and you would know, but I think it's still really a struggle to be openly gay. I really admire people who don't have to hide it, who feel that they don't really care if people know or they don't know. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of courage to be, you know, part of a group that's a kind of, not just a minority, but a minority that really is, you know, vilified in so many different circles, I think.
Well, you know, I'll give you my feedback on that, Bonnie. I'm a gay man who is new to living in the Mid-South. Now, fortunately, I'm in a very progressive city, Nashville, Tennessee, but it's still the Mid-South. And what I will say is, yes, it takes courage to be out. At the same time, the kind of energy to be have the courage to be out versus the kind of energy to try to pass or to hide, it's much more healthy to have the courage or the energy to be out than to have that energy that always kind of looking over your shoulder or having to pass or be super careful so that you don't lose your job or something like that. You know, it's a relief not to have to hide.
And I do say, though, even if you don't have the courage to be open and out, and I would understand that. I don't make any judgment.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to go and marry somebody to pretend that you're
not,
right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
I mean, it's okay. You can stay in the closet. You don't have to announce it to anybody. You don't have to make, you know, put it in the papers. But on the other hand, you don't need to grab somebody to keep that misconception going.
Exactly. Well, like, you know, my attitude is that if somebody has to be particularly discreet because, you know, they've got to make their house payment and they're in a position where they could lose their job, and in many states it's still legal to fire somebody because of their sexual orientation, I think the last thing that should be done is out them the wrong thing. However, if they're in a marriage as a front, I would definitely confront them personally and say, don't do this to that woman. It's not mine.
Mm-hmm. And I think the problem also is that so many gay men are not calling themselves gay. You know, they're looking for any other word that doesn't say gay in it. You know, so, you know, they'll say they're bi. They'll say they're metrosexual. They'll say they're asexual. And I just learned this word last week, heteroflexible. You know, so...
Yeah.
No, I never heard of that word till last week. And I heard it's been around since 2008. But it's
been around,
kind of... Yeah, where some men who are primarily straight but have sexual encounters a few times. I think that's like a Kinsey scale deal. Heteroflexible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little gay, I'm a lot gay, I'm in between gay, but I'm not gay.
and I think a lot of that, you know, my experience with men who are in counseling with me to work through this is that, and I'm amazed by the number of women I deal with who have had gay men in their lives who, even when the women know, they refuse to use the word gay. They won't say that of themselves. And I think it's because they've got an awful lot of their own unexamined, unresolved homophobia inside of themselves. So, you know, they're trying to say anything but I'm really gay, because they're trying to hold on with it. They seem to be... the dignity of being straight and the benefits that goes with that. You know, no matter what a man labels himself, the issue is this. Is he being truthful to the woman who's interested in him? If she wants to sign up to marry somebody who is, quote, heteroflexible, if she knows what that means, that's her business. But be upfront with her. Let her know ahead of time, you know. And then a person knows what they're dealing with, but don't try to pass as fully straight when that's not what you really are.
Right, and I think that you know, that would be helpful, but I still think that a lot of women don't understand the concept. And I think this has been a great misconception throughout the years, which is why I'm not saying there's no chance that somebody in the world is bisexual. Maybe there is. I just don't accept it because too many people use that terminology too loosely and consider themselves bisexual because they're having sex with a man, but they're living in a family with a woman. And
right.
That, to me, is not bisexual.
No,
now,
no,
tell me
no.
if you think I'm wrong on this one. I think if you're bisexual, let's say theoretically, that you have erotic thoughts about women, you have erotic thoughts about men. So theoretically, if that's your situation and you're married to a woman, shouldn't that be fulfilling enough, or why do you need to have a man?
Interesting. I was talking with a woman who is bisexual about this just this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And she has made a commitment to her female partner, but
uh-huh.
said, you know, to me, very honestly, I really had to grieve over the fact that I was excluding this other opportunity to be with men. But, you know, she said, I am so personally in love with this other person and committed that that's fine, and they're making it work. Now, this is a woman speaking, not a man, okay?
Uh-huh.
And as far as men go, I agree with you. I believe that there may be some men who truly are bisexual, that they can be attracted to both. But with any commitment, you know, a straight man is married. Well, he may be attracted to other women, but if he's made a commitment for fidelity, then, you know, he needs to stay faithful to this one woman. And I recognize that a lot of people have a hard time pulling that off, but many people do that. They make a commitment and they stick with it.
Right,
so,
but I think men justify it by saying that it's not really cheating because it's with a man and not another woman.
It's cheating. Cheating is cheating. It can be of the heart or with the body, either one. I mean,
uh-huh.
most affairs with the body begin with affairs of the heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back to something because I think it's a very important point. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we have a man who's married, but he's having sex over here with other men, and he says, well, I'm really bisexual because clearly I'm married to a woman. The status of being married to a woman and having had sex with her, that alone does not make a man bisexual. What it may mean is simply he's a gay man who has chosen to be in a straight marriage because, again, of the social benefits that come with that, and because he is afraid to admit to himself that he really is gay. He doesn't want to deal with daddy's disapproval. He doesn't want to deal with his siblings' disapproval. He doesn't want to deal with the small town's disapproval where he lives. So he gets married and he keeps telling himself, I'm really a straight man, but oh, by the way, I just like having sex on the side furtively with other men. Okay? He's deceiving himself if he's doing that.
Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate that because denial is very strong, is a very strong tool. But
of
I think,
course.
See, I guess what really, you know, upsets my women more than anything else is that, okay, let's say they make a mistake. They marry you, hoping that it'll work out. You know, they go in with good intentions,
right.
You know, thinking that they're not going to have those feelings anymore because their love for you is stronger than those feelings. And I really do believe that most men feel that way. But the thing is, let's say that the marriage goes down the drain because after time they feel really frustrated because
right.
they are gay and those urges keep popping up more and more and you're
right.
pressuring more and more to sleep with, you know, to have sex with your husband and he's just
mm-hmm.
getting more difficult. Okay, so come to terms with it and say, look, I tried my best. I really loved you. I do love you, but it's just not happening. You know, I can't control these urges and these feelings. This is who I am. And then say, I'm
right.
really sorry, you know, that I've tried my best. I know I've hurt you because, you know, you were counting on a life with me in the future, and you've been a wonderful wife. And let's, you know, do what we have to do to part our ways so we can have a good life And because I feel that I really let you down, and I, you know, really try, but I, you know, it's not your fault. You've done nothing wrong. You know, it's my homosexuality that I have no control over, which I understand. But then I think he should be responsible and pay for the divorce. I feel that, you know, this is not a no fault, because the woman plans to spend her life forever with him. She's done nothing wrong. But I think, like, if, instead what I see in, like, so many of our women who come my way, like the vast majority, that these husbands are vicious. You know, they're trying to get everything they can, you know, out of spite. And I don't even understand why they're being spiteful. You know, the women weren't at fault that they're gay. I mean, why are they being so angry? Do you have any idea?
That's a great question. Well, I want to, first of all, I want to respond to what you said about, you know, what the man might say to the woman. Wow, I wish I could have that in script form to coach men when they're getting ready to come out, because wouldn't it be nice if they could all be that direct about it, huh? And
exactly.
And say this clearly. I wish they could. It would be good for them. And it would be good for the women that they had married. Okay, I just wanted to comment on that. Now I'm going to move on to, well, why the spite? And that's a very interesting kind of phenomenon. And this is, of course, going to be a generalization, because, and it's very interesting. Sometimes I've made comments to women I've spoken with individually, and I said, well, this kind of behavior is, and then I've named it for what it is. And that women have taken that as a very specific diagnosis of their husbands. And I don't want it to be. It's just a generalization of the kind of, you know, behavior that I'm seeing. I haven't met with the man, so I don't know him, but I can only comment. So my general comment on why might a man be vicious is because he's taking his internal frustration and anger with himself for not having gotten it together a long time ago, and it's getting projected on her. And she's getting blamed for his lack of prior insight and awareness, which, you know, that's a very sort of human thing we do. For instance, I confronted a friend of mine recently who had let me down, had not kept a promise to me, and he ran into me in a parking lot and wanted to greet me, and I greeted him, and we spoke for a few minutes, and he could tell something was wrong, and I said, listen, you made this promise, you didn't do it. I really had my feelings hurt about that. And thankfully, he came clean with me. I acknowledge that. And he said, you know, you're right, and I apologize. I was wrong. And I said, and I forgive you, and, you know, my friendship still stands. And later, he reflected on that with me, and he said, you know, everything inside of me wanted to make it not my fault, but your fault. Because you didn't understand what I was going through. But that wasn't the truth. The truth was I was wrong. But he demonstrated to me that he had to really do battle with that, and most people do. Most people want to make it somebody else's fault rather than taking responsibility. And I think that's a lot of what's going on.
I think you're right. You know, I think that, you know, they're looking for excuses of why they are like this.
Yeah.
And because they can't accept the fact.
Well,
I think it's
or why not maybe why they are this way, but why they got themselves into this situation. And listen, doesn't this go back as far as that ancient wonderful story in the book of Genesis between Adam and Eve? You know, they get into some trouble, and they're both blaming each other for it. And that's not about men versus women. It's a story about humans, how we just have this tendency.
Exactly. But I think it is very human nature.
I got myself into trouble. Yeah. And I would say to the ladies, you don't have to take that. It's, you know, remind yourself of what's true. Stay true to what you know. And you don't have to explain it away. Don't have to explain it. You're not going crazy. You're sane. stay in your truth, and it will help reduce the anxiety. But if you get wrapped up in his storyline, if he's not being clean and clear, if you get wrapped up in trying to confront his storyline, or somehow rationalize it, you're just going to drive yourself nuts.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to see my latest newsletter, but, you know, I'm saying there that, and it's really true, that gay men don't think straight. And it's not a put-down or an insult, but they're gay. They have their own way of thinking of things.
It's not going to be the way you're thinking about them.
You know, you're trying to make it better, and the more you keep running in circles with them, it's not going to make it any better. You know, they're not, you know, they're not a straight husband. They don't belong in the marriage to start with. But instead of just accepting that, you know, we personalize the rejection, which is understandable when you're living with someone who can't be honest with you. But you can't expect them to react. You know, you can try all you want. It's not going to make them love you more or want you more or desire you more. You know, you're living with a gay man. And I think that's like a really important concept that we have to all understand. You know, they're just not meant to be in these marriages. I mean, it's just like, do you think they're meant to be married?
Well, of course not.
Exactly.
And I want to make two points with regard to what you've said. When you say gay men don't think straight, what you're really not think about the relationship with the woman that they have married in the same way that a straight man would think about
exactly.
his relationship with the woman he married. And you're very clear in the newsletter, and I don't want anyone out there to misunderstand. Bonnie Kay is not a prejudiced woman. She doesn't think that gay men are incapable of thinking rationally. That's not what she's saying. What she is saying is that gay men who get themselves into a marriage to a woman, they're so conflicted already that they're not considering what the woman is going through. That, I think, is what you're saying when you say they don't think straight. So,
I don't think it's so much that they're not.
Let me finish my thought.
Sorry, go ahead.
All this, any attempt to cozy up or expect them to understand your emotions or to persuade them to stay is fruitless. It's not going to work. Just acknowledge what's going on and begin to extract yourself from this relationship. That's what I'm saying.
No, and I agree. And it's not that I think that, you know, gay people and straight people don't think the same things about politics, about every other issue, but I don't believe that a gay man can successfully understand what, you know, a straight woman needs. And, you know, I don't think that because he's not where he needs to be. It's like I have gay men who tell me that once they meet a man who they fall for, all of a sudden life becomes so clear to them. You know, all of a sudden it makes sense. And it's as if they were living in a strange world with a stranger, even though they married that stranger, something didn't feel right. And they weren't even thinking the gay thing. They weren't even quite sure what it was. But at some point in their lives, when all of a sudden they meet that man and they've come to the maturity of what they are, then that's all of a sudden where they feel love. And they feel the kind of love for a man that they could never feel for their wives.
That's right.
And that seems natural to me because they're gay.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what you're saying, I think. That's at the core of what you mean when you say gay men don't think straight.
Exactly.
I completely concur. There's a sense of which if a gay man has not dealt with being gay from an early age onward, when he finally comes to grips with that, it's like he has stepped into a whole different world. There's a sense of falling in love with the world again, you know, because everything begins to make sense where it just didn't make sense before. It didn't connect up. It looked like it might be the right thing, but it never felt right.
And I think that explains it really well, and that's why I'm always very empathetic to the struggles that gay men go through who are in these marriages. I'm just not empathetic to what they do with it. You know, if you're having these with somebody, then you have the obligation to tell your wife, look, we have a problem because I have a problem. You know, that, you know, I didn't think that this would happen. I mean, I counsel men all the time on the right way to do things. But there are those, and, you know, like I say, not all gay husbands, you know, come from one mold, although sometimes it seems that way. But there are some very fine ex-husbands who are gay, ex-husbands, and that I've worked with through the years who are very conscionable, really caring, really regretful for what they've done, and really try to make it up to their family, you know, and who put the needs of their family ahead of their own needs. I don't see it a lot, but I have seen it. So I don't like to really, you know, generalize on every single man. But the thing is that I feel that I understand where you're coming from, where you're saying they're angry and they, you know, want to put the blame somewhere. But it's just like so many of these men that our women are with, and I can never say it's a majority of gay people because I think that authentic gay people don't think this way.
That's
That sound right? I mean, not to be insulting or anything, but I think authentic gay people are decent people who can deal with their lives, who know what they are, who aren't ashamed, aren't embarrassed, you know, and not trying to, you know, get out of what they are. And as I told you, I think denial is a very understandable thing to a point. But I think that you don't have a right to bring somebody down with you because you can't deal with your own issues.
Exactly.
And you shouldn't bring somebody into that. I mean, you need to really work it out, go for therapy, find someone who can talk to you about it. But that's an ideal world where ideal things can happen, which I understand they can.
So let's talk for just a few moments about why is it that some straight women who are married to gay men who find out continue to try to find some middle ground. Why do they do that? And I have some ideas of my own. But Bonnie, I'd like to ask you, what's been your experience when women just don't say, fine, let's plan on, you know, moving you out and working on their divorce. They don't do that. They try to negotiate and find a middle ground. Why do they do that from your experience?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. One is because of financial issues. You know, a lot of these women are single mothers, will become single mothers, and that financially they're not in a position to support their family. They've been stay-at-home mothers for years. I mean, good stay-at-home mothers, which to me is a full-time job and just as an important job as any other kind of job. And they don't have the skills to go out and run and out support their children. That doesn't mean they're going to stay there, but they may not be ready to make an immediate move. Also, I think the fact is that we love our husbands. We go into these marriages loving them. And just because you find out now they're gay doesn't mean you can just stop loving them. I think a lot of times many of these women who are part of our network have been emotionally stripped down over a slow period of time. It wasn't overnight that this happened, but they lack the self-confidence or they feel the responsibility for their husband's homosexuality. I know that I felt the responsibility in the beginning. I used to think if he's looking at other men, then I'm not being a good enough wife. So I'm going to do everything that I can do differently to make him love me more so he can stop having those thoughts. You know, we just don't understand homosexuality because we're not socialized that way. We grow up thinking that homosexual means someone who wants someone of the same sex, not someone who would want us. So our husbands marry us. In the beginning, they have sex with us. So why would we think they're gay? And then when we start finding out little things, then we start feeling, well, then we're not doing enough. So I think a lot of women hang in for that reason. They want to try to fix the mistake that they think they're responsible for. And a lot of women are struggling with fear. We had a few women in our support group tonight whose husbands were very, you know, threatening to them, if you leave, I'm going to do this and that. Or they threaten to take the children. Or, you know, they make all kinds of threats. The women are scared. So I think there's a variety of reasons. I think if in a perfect world, if they could, they would just leave. but there's so much entanglement there. What are your theories?
I think you've said it very, very well. I think that there's also sometimes the expectation that they're saying, he should love me. He should do this. He should stay here because I love him, so he should love me. Look at the number of years that we've had together. And it's hard to get beyond that thought. What I would encourage any women who might be thinking that to say to themselves as well, but he's not loving me. What I need to do is love me and take care of me, and that means I need to let him go and to take care of myself in the process of letting him go.
Brian, I just had a listener email me, and she said, why do we try to find middle ground? Because you must have said that. And she wrote back, because we love them.
Yes. Yes, and there's that hope that they'll reciprocate that. And the reality is they're not going to. They're not going to reciprocate that.
No, because they're not able to.
No, they're not able to.
Right.
They may be able to be socially, they may be able to be civil. They might even be able to be kind. But they're not going to love you in the way that you deserve to be loved. And so, you know, I just have to encourage these women not to continue to put themselves in a situation where emotionally they're really going to be subjected to more and more pain. And sometimes the men don't have the courage to move on when they get caught. And unfortunately, that places the woman in the position of having to have the courage and say to him, you know, kiddo, you're going to have to go your own way because this does not work for you. It's not going to get any better. And I need to take care of myself too. So we have to detach with love, but we have to detach.
All right, here's another writer just wrote in. Ask Dr. Hooper what I should do when my husband keeps saying he'll commit suicide if I leave.
Well, that's a very manipulative kind of thing for him to be doing. It's very controlling. But I don't think a person can, you know, be held captive by somebody else's threat. If you believe that he is in danger to himself, you know, you have to call, you need to call the authorities and have him, have them deal with that. But that he can't make his problem your problem. Otherwise, people just stay in these relationships and don't work forever, and that's really not fair.
I know. I've seen this happen maybe with 5% of the women in our network where their husbands that they're going to kill themselves if they leave. And,
right.
You know, I hate to say, no, they're not, even though I know most of them don't. I mean, I've seen it happen maybe once or twice in 30 years. But that
right.
doesn't mean, suppose you left, that they're committing suicide.
And let me say this. You know, I would encourage that writer, and I certainly, you know, I want to say to her, I understand how you're feeling really stuck right now because you don't want to be the person that pulls that you feel like you're pulling the trigger because he's made a threat. I would encourage her to, and if she needs a referral from me, have her call me. I'll happily try to find somebody in her area that I, you know, believe could handle the situation, a licensed psychotherapist in her area that she can confer with and make a plan. If she needs a plan to work with, and it's helpful because this is a, you know, this isn't a, let's call Brian and begin to work on my inner stuff. This is kind of a crisis situation she's facing, and it probably would be best if she has a therapist right there, and I will help her connect with a good therapist who can make a crisis plan with her so that she can extricate herself and get on with her life.
Right, because
this crisis... And ultimately, there are no guarantees. I mean, you can have a great crisis plan and people can hurt themselves, but if you stay hostage to their threats, then they're really kind of emotionally terrorizing you. And nobody should be allowed to do that.
I say it's really emotionally manipulating you beyond all call of duty. And
right.
I just feel this is so unfair to keep somebody where they don't want to be because they
mm-hmm.
feel so responsible for what you're going to do to yourself. So to me, that's
right.
just like another act of selfishness.
Yeah, I mean, we see this with addicts all the time. You know, they threaten to, you know, I'll kill myself if you turn me in. Well, then do we aid and abet their behavior? I don't think that's appropriate either.
Exactly. I mean, these are such hard issues that women deal with, you know, when you're asking about why they stay. And
right.
It's just, like I said, so many different factors. But
yep.
here's one more question that, you know, women brought up in our support chat tonight, if you could address. I hate to blindside
sure.
you with this. And I'll try to put it in a way that doesn't sound offensive in any way. But
okay.
I really do feel that a gay male has, you know, his own set of how he grows up, what his feelings are, you know, that he's, you know, a gay man, which makes him different than a straight man. So
mm-hmm.
my women were concerned if this would have any effect on, you know, fathering skills when it comes to the children as far as what, you know, like if you have to talk about the facts of life, are you talking about them in general terms? Is your own sexuality part of that? You know, is it giving a point of view that maybe your children wouldn't agree with or... maybe giving a different view because of your own feelings of sexuality. Would that have any effect, do you think?
I think it depends on the gay man himself.
Mm-hmm.
If he has dealt with who he is, then I don't think it is going to affect it. He just needs to make sure that he has accurate information, you know. Which is readily available, and what's most important, I think, is, you know, the relational end of sexuality, which frankly, for a gay man who wants to be in a committed relationship, the emotional bonding and the talk about faithfulness and all of that, we're going to share the same thing that a straight father is going to share with a straight child who, you know, wants to, when they need to have the talk about life and relationships, et cetera. Does that begin to answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I don't think just being gay makes a person talk about human relationships of sex and love.
I know. I'm saying that. I guess, you know, to be honest with you, I feel a little funny saying this, but, you know, being a straight woman, you know, and I had a lesbian
uh-huh.
daughter,
uh-huh.
and I teach her all the things about relationships and love. But, like, for instance, if she had questions about sexuality, I wasn't really good at knowing what to say or if
mm-hmm.
I would be accurate in what I'm saying because, you know, she may be looking at sexuality differently than I was.
Well, again, I come back to the idea that there are as many different lifestyles among straight people as there are among gay people. There are different mores depending on a person's religion and cultural background. So, you know, there is no one pat answer. I think the bottom line that's most helpful is, are we teaching children to be mindful of what they're doing and the consequences on other people that they're doing it with or around. That's, for me, the kind of ethical question that's playing in the background. You know, and there's some sexual practices that Roman Catholics say are wrong, but, you know, Protestants say are fine, and, you know, maybe no opinion by other religions. So I think what the bottom line is the person who's sharing, you know, with the child in touch with the, you know, the facts, the biological facts, and are they coming up from a place of psychological, emotional integrity?
I think what was interesting is that you sent me a very interesting video. Can we discuss that for a
minute? Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I found it very interesting. It was put out by an organization, TED. Is that?
And well, TED Talks. TED Talks feature all sorts of talks on technology and social experience. So it's, they just allow people to come and give their talks and then they get broadcast. So it's not really sponsoring, it's just allowing it and putting it out there.
I didn't know if it stood for anything. TED, T-E-D. I was trying to figure out, what does that mean? Maybe that's just a name. Is it an acronym for something? But
The first word is technology, and I've forgotten what the other two
Maybe education something. But regardless, it was a very interesting video you sent me about an actress who's an activist actress. And what I found very interesting, this young lady was giving a talk on people who have gender differences,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it wasn't specifically for gay or straight or for any label. It's just she was saying there's a lot of people that don't really have a label, but they may be practicing. Like, her story was she played the role of a boy for many years in her life, I think for her first 14 years, that
yeah.
she felt like a boy, she looked like a boy. And she made movies. She was in movies where she played boys' roles. And she never thought of herself as a girl. She just wanted to be a boy. Then all of a sudden, when she was in her teens, she decided she doesn't want to be a boy. She wants to be a girl.
Yeah,
and
she was very clear. She said when puberty hit, that's when things began to change for me. Yeah,
Exactly. And what I thought was so interesting about this, although you may have thought something else was more interesting, you know, maybe we saw this differently, is that her parents were totally aware of, you know, the sexual, for lack of a better word, identity, you know, change, or, you know, they knew that she was born a girl even though she was acting as a boy. And yet they let her go with it, you know, without trying to shape or form, you know, what she really was, which I think.
Right.
Very unusual for parents, don't you?
Well, very unusual, but she said, you know, she was raised by very bohemian parents who were themselves artists, and she grew up in an area of New York where she said, you know, if you weren't a cross-dresser, gay, an artist, or a performance artist, you were the oddball. So she was raised in a... Well, what's sort of interesting, though, is that even growing up, identifying with the social behavior of a male, she didn't say that she was uncomfortable in the body of a female. So she didn't have any dysphoric kind of experience around being a female, but when she did say, you know, very early on she wanted to play with the boys, some I've forgotten if it was basketball or what it was as a kid, and they said, no, you have to be a boy. And so she went home, shaved her head, and dressed like a boy and came back. She said, okay, now I'm a boy. And they went, well, okay, you can play. So she had a goal in mind. She wanted some of the benefits that came with being a boy, and then because she was sort of boyish looking, she could land the role in some performance things. And so she was really kind of playing in a way, kind of doing what kids do, and she was playing dress up. You know, some kids play dress up as cops and robbers, and it's always been more acceptable for a girl to be a tomboy, too, hasn't it, than a boy to take on more feminine characteristics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it has been.
Yeah.
I think that women are, you know, I'm not saying they're certainly not prejudiced against it, but I think it's more acceptable. I always think, you know, lesbianism is more acceptable, like, in straight men's minds than homosexual. And people say, well, why would that be? But I still think there's a sense of eroticism for straight men to see women together. So.
Well, the other thing is that in Western culture, and this goes way back to Petrology, who is the father of the child, and women having sex with women, that didn't affect, knowing who the paternity of a child was, men who would take the, quote, female role, that was a threat to the whole male domination kind of theory, and so there was much more concern about men and their seed and their behavior than there was for women, because women were not seen as equal partners. They were just sort of the, if you will, the incubator until the age of science came along, and we understood then at that point in time that women contributed something to the production of a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure.
We look at the story of the English dynasty and King Henry, and if a woman produced a female heir for the king, it was, quote, her fault. I mean, you know, that's very primitive kind of thinking. And we still have, all I'm saying is we still had the residual effects of that kind of primitive thinking, even in our advanced age.
But even going back to what you just said about how people, you know, maybe could accept it better, you know, with females than males, I take a look at the show Ellen with Ellen DeGeneres and how acceptable she is to so many people outside the realm of anything, you know, and even with her girlfriend. You know, and they're very open about it, and no one doesn't have any, you know, never allude to the fact of anything else. And people have been accepting of her. Would they be just as accepting to an openly gay male talk show host who would bring on his boyfriend? And, you know, I just feel that people can deal more with it on a woman's level than they are on a man's level.
Right.
Do you feel that way or no?
I believe that that's true. I mean, and you know, she's been doing this now for quite a long time. And it's fairly mainstream today, but I think if a man started out today having a similar kind of persona, it would be a rough go for him.
I agree.
It looks like things are working out okay for Anderson Cooper. You know, news program. And what's that?
Yeah, I think he's like an exception to the people accept him more so.
Yeah.
Because they knew him before he was gay, he was always gay. But I'm saying more before he was out publicly.
Yeah, they knew him before he came out, while the rest of us gay men, we've known it all along, Anderson, and we've always loved you. It's okay.
really hiding it, you know, from what I've read. He may not have been out there announcing it, but he wasn't out there trying to pretend he wasn't.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's what I've been reading with him. But I think people really cared about him. So,
he's a decent guy. He's a good reporter, in my opinion. He's a good reporter because he's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't let people off the hook, and he goes for the answers to logical, rational questions. And unfortunately, too much of the new stuff is just, you know, sensationalism and not news. Anyway.
Well, I just wanted to know your opinion on that. So, any words of wisdom before we end the show tonight?
Oh, my gosh. We're at that time already, huh? Wow.
Oh, I have some words of wisdom.
Well, you
here
know,
they
here,
are.
Here's a couple. Oh, okay.
Okay. First of all, Brian has been kind enough and generous enough to share himself once a month with all of our listeners, women or men. And I always tell him that women tell me after he's done the show how much calmer they feel. He has such a calming effect on us, including me. And the best part is that most of us don't live in Nashville, Tennessee, I know. But the point is that Brian can do counseling with you over the phone or through Skype. You don't have to be sitting in his office. And I think you'll find him just so comforting that you can actually talk to him from your home. You don't have to travel to anywhere. And if you need a therapist who really can, you know, guide you into feeling better, I would be so happy to just tell you you're going to love Brian, because every woman I know and men who have talked to him really come out feeling better and more focused on where they need to go. So, Brian, let's tell people the best way to contact you.
The best way to is send me an email, and send that to Brian with an I. Brian at Brian Hooper.com. Or you can visit my website, which is www.drbrianhooper.com. And they'll get all the information there, including phone number, and they can find the email address there as well, or they can go to your website, right, Bonnie? And there's a link to my website on the sidebar of your website.
Absolutely. So if you didn't have time to write all that down, you know, definitely go to gayhusbands.com, and on the right-hand side, look for resources, and you'll see Brian's name right up front there. And if you have husbands who are willing to talk to somebody who can help them, strongly encourage them to go to Brian, because he will hold them accountable. He will help them deal with their feelings. He will help them feel better about themselves, that they don't have to keep living a lie. You know, he'll do miracles with them, because, namely, they'll make such a connection to him. So even though they don't even have to go to his office, they can just talk to him by phone, or they want to look at him, you know, by Skyping. So either way is available, but you will be in excellent shape. If he is willing to talk to a therapist, Brian is definitely the person to send them to. So, Brian, I want to thank you so much again, as I'll be expecting to thank you again in another month for
hey,
all of your...
Hey, thank you. I want to say to your listeners, listen to what's going on inside of you. Believe in your own heart. Trust yourself. Don't accept excuses. Detach with love, but detach. Take care of yourself. The only person you can really be responsible for is really yourself. You can't take care of him. That doesn't mean you have to be mean, but, you know, let him go. Bless him. Send him on his journey. And then you can open your heart up over time to be with a man who is really able to be with you, because you deserve it.
Well, thank you for those wonderful words that will carry women through for the next few weeks. And if you do have any questions for Brian, and if you feel like me just asking him, you know, we don't stand on ceremony. You know, whatever makes it to, you know, you feel better, we're happy to work with you that way. So if you don't want to talk to Brian directly or write to him directly, just write to me and I'll certainly forward the mail for you. Brian, I love you.
Love you too, Bonnie. Keep up the good work. We all appreciate you, and thank you for what you do.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you for being you. And I'll talk to you again in a few weeks. All right,
okay,
everybody.
Sweetheart.
We'll see you next. Have a wonderful week. Good night.